I don't think any of us are surprised that Mark Shapiro got an extension done. I don't even, the terms, 5 years, I don't think that necessarily surprises us. But Brunt made an interesting point that I have to admit I hadn't thought of when I came in here today. You know, I just kind of thought that Mark's deal was done and that it would be one of those things where, you know, it just wouldn't, there wouldn't be like a formal announcement. And at some point, somebody would find out that Mark is here for 5 years and that would be written and that would become fact. I was a little surprised that it was formally announced. Just wondering what your take is on that, first of all, because there are people who are going to be wondering about that.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, too. And I think if it was up to Mark on his own, he'd probably prefer that it not be out there. You know, I'd pushed that a little bit in October when I asked him where things were at. And he made his comments that at that point that strongly hinted that an extension was coming. You know, he said he believes that the focus shouldn't be on the front office. But, you know, the point that I made at the time, and I think still stands across the board, not just for the Blue Jays, but for all sports teams, I think fans deserve some transparency with the senior leadership of the club. They should know what their contractual status is like, because it indicates that for now it has, the team is going to run under their direction for a said period of time. And they can kind of wrap around what the expectations of the team should be, the trajectory and all those things around that vision and around that knowledge. So, you know, I think this is a good thing for fans. I think sports teams need to do more of this with teams of senior leadership. It's an interesting and I think an important thing that the Blue Jays ended up doing here, but with announcing the term on that contract.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with that at all. I think it is a good way to kind of communicate to the fans, you know, philosophically where you're headed and a whole bunch of things. But I think, Shai, you know, the reason it's a little surprising is more the style of ownership here than anything else, because you know you have ownership here that generally doesn't speak on baseball matters, like not at all, right? Like they obviously you know they pay the bills, but there's no person who steps up and says, you know, I am ownership, I am the voice of ownership when it comes to the Jays. So you know, because of that, there's always been that kind of question. Well, who would it be? You know, who's going to announce that Mark Shapiro has been extended? But it was interesting seeing Edward Rogers' name on that. And, you know, it felt a little more personal, you know, in terms of ownership. But, you know, I think we've, you know, what we've seen is kind of a corporate style of doing business that, you know, maybe doesn't, you know, take into account the you know, the kind of the psychology of the fan.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think that's really fair. You know, the one thing with, you know, in terms of nobody being sort of the corporate face of it. I mean, technically, Edward Rogers is listed as the control person with Major League Baseball. He is the quote unquote leader of the team, at least within the eyes of Major League Baseball. So it would make sense that it would be him who would be commenting or having a statement attributed to in the Twitter release announcing this deal. And you know, I think in a lot of ways that's, you know, he's the corporate person that you would look to. I mean, he is the chairman of both Rogers and the club. He is the person that Major League Baseball will go to. I mean, obviously they know to talk to Mark Shapiro about most things, but if ultimately if there's a call that needs to be made at an ownership level, you know, that call is going to Edward Rogers. So, I think this is a good step. Like, I think the transparent aspect of this is really important. And, you know, like this is a front office or I guess a president and a general manager that took over the team under very difficult circumstances. It was very emotional. They've had to fight uphill in the market. And now that, you know, they've got a chance to, you know, set them in place for the future. I think it's a good way to start with a little bit of transparency and making it clear to people where he stands.
All right. Now that they've got Mark Shapiro done, what's the next step? George Springer?
I mean, we're still waiting for
DJ LeMay.
I mean, the vast majority of baseball business staff. Look, I think they're in on both those guys. You know, they're keeping an eye on Realmuto and Trevor Bauer and everything else. At some point, somebody's got to make a call. Right. And I think that's where all these things stand. Everyone's like, you know, on the player side, on the owner side or team side, everyone's saying, hey, we got our evaluations, we're sticking to it, and sort of waiting for the other side to blink. And, you know, I think the Blue Jays and other teams can still do that because there's so many players still available on the market. But, you know, at some point, the carpet's gonna start moving. Yeah. And if you're not on it, you know, you could end up at a spot that you don't necessarily want. So I think that's what players are trying to use right now as leverage. But, you know, we're barely a month away from spring training starting when, you know, the expectation is that it's going to start on time. And it's pretty remarkable that we're still at this point and, you know, 85% of free agents are still out there.
I was going to ask you that. Because we know that Rob Manfred came out publicly in USA Today a couple of days ago and said, look, it's going to be 162. Spring training's going to start on time. I believe it was that night that Liam Hendricks gets signed. Do you think that maybe the fact that the commissioner is now saying this is what our plan is, that if there's a free agent out there who's saying, look, I don't even know, I'm not going to rush this. I don't know if camp's going to start in February. You know, maybe camp doesn't start until March, the end of March, middle of March. I'll take another couple of weeks. Maybe that smokes out another offer. Conversely, maybe there are teams sitting there saying, hey, let's try to outweigh this guy because we don't know when camp's going to start. Do you think that maybe that announcement from Rob Manfred is going to kind of prime the pump here?
I mean, I'd hope so, but we've looked at every transaction that's occurred and said, all right, well maybe Kim's signing is going to get things going, or maybe the Lindor trade will do that. Or,
yep, that's fair.
And Darvish and Snell, maybe that'll get things going. And none of that has happened yet. And, you know, I think that maybe some teams are thinking to themselves, well, let's wait and see if we're really going to get started. Because maybe, you know, once the Biden administration takes over, maybe the health aspect, the health official aspect ends up changing the United States and the dynamic changes, and maybe they take it out of MLB's hands. So I still think there are a lot of dominoes there. And ultimately, I think the play of player right now is like, if I have to take a major haircut over what I'm expecting, I don't see the need to. And for the most part, teams are saying, well, if I have to pay far more than where my value is, I'm not going to do it right now. And that's why you get this ongoing stasis.
Jeff and I were kicking around the Trevor Bauer question earlier in the show. You know, a guy who, you know, would rock the boat outside and potentially inside the clubhouse. That's his prerogative. That's who he is. That's who he wants to be. But, you know, you just still have a choice about whether you want to pay him or not. And obviously, as a baseball player, there's not much of a choice involved. They'd love to have him as, you know, 1 or 1A in their rotation. But do you have any sense whether they, you know, do they blow hot and cold when it comes to whether they do one or the other when it comes to Trevor Bauer?
I don't think that it's necessarily sort of blowing hot and cold. I think ultimately right now it's, you know, what is the path that you take in terms of how you're spending your money. And my sense is that they prefer to get Springer or LeMahieu. That would be sort of the best for them, right? Because you're getting a premium everyday guy, and you know, they both bring a lot of good off-field intangibles. They're sort of the total package. And then, you know, if you're going to put in all that money, do you want to put it into a pitcher where you typically have more volatility, more threat of injury, and things like that? So I think that's where they'd most likely want to end up spending. And that with Trevor Bauer, they're sort of monitoring things, seeing where that market goes. And if it ends up in at a place where they feel comfortable, then maybe they jump that route. But, you know, I think part of what the Blue Jays are doing, and you know, this is, you know, there's certainly different viewpoints you can take on this approach, but you know, they're being really careful that about what their first move is, because your first move cuts you off to other things.
Yeah,
and so I think that, you know, ultimately you're better off just making the decision, saying, okay, who's the guy I really want to get, and focus on that. And then if you're not going to be able to get him, then go to your number two. But right now, because things aren't being cut off to them, they're still trying to play all the different avenues.
But Chad, do you think they would be willing, you know, again, depending on how that breaks, and that's, you're absolutely right about all of that, but that they would be willing to live with that side of Trevor Bauer if things broke that way and they had an opportunity?
Yeah, I don't think that would stop you. You know, I mean, they know him, and as much as, you know, he's got the reputation, you know, this is a proven pitcher. You've had, one Blue Jay player, Randall Grichuk, publicly lobbying for him. So, you know, he's certainly going to have at least some sort of a welcome. And look, I think ultimately all that off-field stuff, look, if you're good and you're going to help a team win games, you're going to find a place, right? And I don't think any of that other stuff is going to be an issue.
Shai, very quickly, Corey Kluber worked out for teams today. Jeff Passan reporting that it was a good workout. Whereas the James Paxton workout a couple of days ago, he wasn't throwing as hard as people originally wanted to see him throw. Do you see the Jays being involved in guys like that? I mean, not, obviously not the focus, but as I said, you're going to probably need 40 different starting pitchers this year to get the season done. Can you see them taking a shot on a bounce back candidate like that?
Yeah, I've heard his name mentioned early in the offseason as someone to keep an eye on. But I do think that they're also looking for more certainty in the rotation. So, let's say things break really well and they get two higher priced guys and then they don't have as much money to spend on other parts of the roster, then maybe you're looking at bounce back candidates at that point. So, you know, I think the Blue Jays have, you know, they've done a lot of work mapping out how they can backfill different spots depending on what they do. And, you know, I don't know that he'd necessarily be a primary option for them, but it's certainly somebody that they're keeping an eye on and considering.